We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I think that most of us know the inequities that go along with college athletics overall. I think they're in our face. I think that most of us don't like it, the idea that there's a lot of money being generated, and maybe a scholarship doesn't quite cut it. And it was early on in the pandemic, most of us were like, there's no way that you could have college football and not have the rest of the kids back on campus. What type of message does that send? And then as we got closer and closer to college football, those voices started to be less and less. We started to care less and less about those things. In our hearts, we know that it's wrong. We know that the optic of an empty stadium on a college football campus where there are no college students in the cheering section is wrong. While we're asking the athletes who play college football to put themselves in danger both from the virus and from playing football to entertain us.
Make me a bicycle clown.
I plan on talking a little bit more about that coming up today on the show. I'm glad that you are along for the ride. My man Jason Goff was like, I'm listening. And young Jace's in the car. What up, Jace? I'm glad that you are here. I've got a lot of stuff that I want to talk about today, and we got some great guests too. Jay Zawoski is going to join me in the next segment, because I need the hockey guru to break down what happened in last night's game. I want to talk about hockey without Jay for a second. I'll get to that momentarily. Gabby Williams of the Sky, like, we got our wires crossed yesterday, so hopefully we get her on, because I want to talk to her about the Sky starting off 4-1 and how the women of the WNBA probably deserve more credit for some of the changes that we're seeing in sports overall. Because they've been the fearless ones. Like, kneeling is, you know, whatevs now. The stuff that the WNBA players are doing is admirable. And it really speaks to the history of using platform for protest. But I also want to talk basketball with Gabby Williams, and we'll do that around 1:25. I got some funny stuff that I ran into last night. I don't have the rights to this. The Score doesn't have the rights to this, but I've got to just tell you about this. I probably should have made a call to Mary and ask if we could have used the sound from the Sox game last night. But I'm driving around because, as I've told you, during all of this, I like to get a sense of what's happening on the radio broadcast too. So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll go a little farther out to go grab something to eat or drink today. And I'll listen to see what's going on. I have an incredible piece of sound from the Cubs game that I'll share with you. But from the White Sox game, so you remember how James McCann, there was the foul tip and hit him in the junk while that was going on? So I'm listening to Andy and DJ. And Andy's, like, trying to figure out, like, what's going on. He's like, oh, you know, I think the foul tip got him. He's like, nope, it was the ball. It was the ball that got him. And DJ just very coolly goes, you know, literally. And I started dying laughing in the car. I wish I could play it to you because it was so smooth. But I immediately text the show text group, me, Campy, Herbie, and Tony, even though two of those guys don't work at the Score anymore. But we're still the text group. And I was just laughing my ass off because it was very, very funny to me. There's stuff from the Cubs broadcast. There's two things from the Cubs broadcast that I'll get to later on. One was super serious and needed to be heard, and the other one was super fun, and I can't wait to share it with you. All right, let's talk about the Blackhawks win. Let's do that hockey, as they say in hockey. Mellett never seen that before, which is weird, and I played it for her the other day, and she was like, that's hilarious. I also, Herbie, I don't know if you paid attention to this. Did I get a shout-out on that? Because do you remember what the guy's name was?
I don't remember. What was it?
Laszlo Holmes. Would it be fair for me to just totally co-opt that and be like, Chance lives in Chicago. He grew up listening to The Score, possibly. And he was like, oh, I'm going to name a sportscaster, and it'll kind of be like Lawrence Holmes, but it won't be. I think I should just use that.
Definitely.
All right, good. So Chance was being me, apparently, on that skit that he did.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
So let's do that hockey. Although I actually really like hockey, unlike Laszlo. But I get it. So I'm just going to claim that as Chance was inspired by the stuff that I do on the radio and what I used to do on television, and he decided to name a character after me. I want to talk about the last 10 minutes of the game last night. And not just the last 10 minutes of game 3 of the series between the Blackhawks and the Oilers, but the last 10 minutes of hockey, playoff-style hockey, anytime, anywhere. I found myself, while watching this, and granted, we're all just trying to go to sleep. Like 9:30 puck drops, 9:30 first pitches, none of that stuff is good for any of us that live in the Midwest. It's great if you live out west. You ever spend any time out west, like during football season? It's so enjoyable. When I used to have the place in Arizona, I'd go out there, and you know how they are. They're, you know, they don't do any of the time change stuff. There would be mornings where I could watch football games starting at like 10:30. It was amazing. Anyway, so I'm watching this game last night, and I'm trying to go to sleep, knowing that I'm going to go to sleep. And I'm sitting there going, are the Blackhawks going to – because it felt like in the second period that they just wanted to give the game away. They didn't play well on defense. Like, it was just sloppy. It was a continuation of some of the same stuff that we had seen in game 2. And so then we get down to the nitty-gritty, and hockey has this incredible ability. I don't know how to describe it. I've been working on figuring out, like, I've been searching my feelings today. I even went back and watched the last 10 minutes again this morning to see if the same thing happened, and it did, even though I knew what the outcome of the game was. The game lends itself to a level of concern. Like, there's a level of tension in a close playoff game. And I know that this is the qualifying round, and it doesn't technically meet the standard of Stanley Cup playoff. But if you're watching the game, you understand that it was a playoff game. And in those last 10 minutes, it felt like it. It's a different thing. Like, I'm used to the tension of a close baseball game. But baseball gives you an opportunity to exhale. There's an opportunity there for you to breathe. And in between pitches, in between batters, when there's a conversation that's taking place with pitcher and catcher, if the pitching coach comes out, when the batter steps out of the box, there are all these moments for you to kind of collect yourself. You can collect yourself as a viewer. With hockey, in those last 10 minutes, like after we, you know, take care of the ice and all that stuff, sure, there are stoppages here and there that allow for it. But it just grips you in a way that you're kind of sitting upright. Like, if you're someone who likes to lay down while you watch the game, usually in a close game, that's when you start to kind of perk up. Like, your shoulders get a little square towards the television. I found myself grinding my teeth last night in the last 10 minutes of the game. because of the stress level. I don't. How would you describe it? How would you describe it? Text me and let me know. 312-644-6767 if you want to text us your thoughts. By the way, the Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Because it just kind of grabs a hold of you, and you're just sitting there. You're being taken on this ride. You're on this ride, and it's unique to that sport. There are moments in football games and in big football games like the Super Bowl, like the last 10 minutes of this year's Super Bowl, I think had a similar feel to it where you're wondering, is Patrick Mahomes going to be able to put this off? But you know, with football, it's start, stop, start, stop, start, stop, big time commercial break, big time commercial break, change of possession, all of that stuff. With hockey, it just won't let you go. And then there's this, like, feeling of relief when your team is able to tie the game in the case of the Blackhawks last night and then go ahead off of an own goal. But it was an own goal because Jonathan Toews busts his ass on the faceoff and gets his ass in front of the net. He's in position to make a play. And Bear ends up putting it in his own net. It's exhilarating, and I like it. Like, these are the things about sports that when we don't have sports that we miss. And maybe I'm a little bit more heightened right now because we didn't have this for 4 months. But it made me hyper aware of what that feeling is like when there's money on the table in an important hockey game. It was great. It was great to have that feeling. It was great to allow sports to let me emote in that way while watching what was going on with the Blackhawks. Maybe you felt it too. Maybe you were too tired. Because in the second period, I was like, might need to turn this off. But it's a one-goal game, so you can't. And then you get to that last part where guys seem like they're skating harder. Seem like every possession is do or die. Like, all of those things play in. It's a really great sport when it's at this point. I like hockey overall, but when we get to, as Doug Buffon would say, nut cutting time, it becomes even more fun. And it's hard to describe. So I'm going to talk with Jay Zawoski about that. I also want to ask him why Corey Crawford was on his stomach last night more than I've ever seen. We will talk that hockey. We will do that hockey. Coming up with Jay Zawoski next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Over to the boards, the old turnaround shot. Miss it out. Hawks win. The Chicago Blackhawks with two late third period goals overcome a deficit and take a 2-1 lead in the series. Wow.
Wow is right. highlight courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. It didn't look like that was a game that was going to be the Blackhawks winning it. It felt like that was one of those games that maybe Edmonton could run away with, but they didn't. Blackhawks tracked them down in the third period, got a goal, and now they lead this best of five series 2-1. I wanted to talk with someone about the Blackhawks, and who better than Jay Zawoski? He's our hockey guru. He is the author of the book, The Big 50, The Men That Made the Chicago Blackhawks.
Let's do that hockey.
Let's do that hockey with Jay. He's also the host of the Madhouse podcast and the I'm Fat podcast, too. He's a man of many talents. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to check out in Melrose Park, or you can go to alpamonteford.com. Jay, thanks for joining me.
Anytime. I was listening to your discussion before I came on, and that phenomenon you're describing of watching hockey nervously was deemed barf cry die time by hockey Twitter back when the Blackhawks were in their dynasty years. So it's a well-known phenomenon that it's an awful feeling. And I think you put it well when you said it's more relief than joy. Like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God they didn't lose, or thank God they broke the tie or whatever. That's definitely the feeling of watching playoff hockey. And I thought it would be tough to get back in that routine. It has not been tough. As soon as the puck dropped on game one, I had that feeling again, and it's great to feel that way again.
It's weird, Jay, because I thought that hockey was one of those sports where I kind of needed the crowd, and I haven't found myself needing it. I feel like the players on the ice have generated the requisite amount of energy that I need as a viewer.
Yeah, and it's funny. I sort of felt the same way. But you've got the pregame things where the fans are involved. But I feel like when you're watching a hockey game, you're not really noticing the crowd until a goal is scored or until a big moment happens. And I think when you look at the production the league has done with this entire return to play, the way the arenas look is really cool. They souped them up a little bit, added some bells and whistles, some lights, some video boards. And they've done a good job of adding sound when appropriate. So it's not so jarring to hear the silence. The one time that the silence was jarring was last night when Tyler Ennis went down after that hit with Doc. You could hear him kind of screaming and writhing. I'm like, can someone put on some music or something? Can we get the Tecmo Bowl injury music playing? Because it was really uncomfortable to hear an injured player screaming. And that's going to happen a lot in these empty arenas. And that was really the first time I'd seen that come to fruition. But other than that, I think it's been a very easy watch. And I have to give so many kudos to the NHL. They very unexpectedly to me have knocked this thing out of the park since they reached the agreement.
26 goals have been scored in the three games so far. What do you attribute that to?
Both teams being subpar defensively and having really good offenses. With this series, it's not complicated. Campy texted me yesterday. He said, 6 goals? I got to take the over, right? Yes, take the over in every game in this series because, look, McDavid and Draisaitl themselves, they're good for 3 or 4 goals every game. Those two guys, they're just unbelievable. And then you've got the firepower the Hawks have offensively, coupled with a rusty Corey Crawford and a slow-footed Hawks defense. There's going to be a lot of goals in these games. There have been already. I really think that's what it is. It's just not a great defense, great offense on both sides, and there you have it.
Getting an opportunity to watch McDavid in a series has been a lot of fun. I have thoughts on why I think he's great. Why do you think he's great?
He is the fastest skater I've ever seen in game action. So one of my favorite players ever is Pavel Bure. Played on the Vancouver Canucks in the 90s. He was on the Florida Panthers later in his career. They called him the Russian Rocket. And he was the fastest straight-ahead skater I've ever seen. Connor McDavid has the ability to go from standing still to top speed in seemingly 2 or 3 strides. And you can see that. Like, the second goal he scored in game 2, so not the one where the puck flipped to him right in front of the net, but the one where he sort of broke through the middle. Slater, Cuckoo, and Olli Maatta played him correctly, but he's so fast that those two guys couldn't turn quickly enough to poke the puck away from him. It's unbelievable. Duncan Keith, I heard an interview with him earlier this week, called him the fastest player he's ever played against, talked about his speed, not just stop and go, but from left to right. couple that with the best hands in the game, and you've got a player, look, Sidney Crosby's great. Alex Ovechkin might be the greatest goal scorer ever when it's all said and done, but the total package of speed, hands, scoring ability, I don't know if I've seen a guy like that since Wayne Gretzky, honestly. It's just unbelievable how good Connor McDavid is, and oh yeah, he's 23 years old.
Yeah, and he's got, I was joking about this yesterday, after game, or in the middle of game two, they interviewed him after the first period, and he's got that like level of determination that I like too. Like, there's an anger that is resting underneath the surface, that he knew how important that game was, and there was no way that he was going to allow them to get run out of the building again in game two. And he had an incredible game, and he continues to have incredible games. I really like watching him. One of the things I don't like watching, Jay, is the Blackhawks power play. What up with that?
Well, real quick on McDavid, by the way, I forgot my point. Never mind. Just go ahead and dump that, Herb. I sound awful. The power play is... I totally forgot. Oh, my point was...
Go ahead, make that point.
No, that his ability to stick handle in close, when not only when he's got defensemen draped all over him, but he can just, I'm going to go to the backhand and roof it over your shoulder with literally no problem whatsoever. I seriously have not seen a guy like McDavid ever before in my life. Okay, the power play. Game one, things looked pretty good. Everybody on the team was touching the puck. You had Kubalik involved, Taves, Kane, Keith. Everybody was on that top unit, was involved, was touching the puck, and it was working. Since then, they've resorted back to this Patrick Kane holds the puck on the right wing boards, and then everybody stands still and waits for something to happen. Eddie Olczyk said it yesterday during the game. Someone has to move. And I think, and I've said this for a few years, playing with Patrick Kane can be challenging because he's such a freelancer. He's such a freewheeler. He will make things happen out of nothing. And I think sometimes being his line mate can be a little bit intimidating because you don't want to abandon the spot just where he's just about to put a pass, right? But you've got four guys stationary staring at Patrick Kane, waiting for him to do something. That's not a recipe for success. They're so hell-bent on scoring these tic-tac-toe power play goals. Mm-hmm. And watch other hockey games. How often are power play goals scored on beautiful, you know, one-timers or really great dazzling plays? No. You get it back to the point. You get a big guy in front. It hits him in the leg and it goes in. That's how power play goals are scored. And the Hawks refuse to play that style. And I think because it was the same way with Joel Quenneville, at some point you sort of have to look at the players. I don't think Quenneville or Jeremy Collin is telling their players, so you know what, just go stand still and watch Patrick Kane. That's not the formula. I promise you it's not what the coaches are coaching. They need to be a little more aggressive, and I'm telling you, when that first unit's out there, watch the area in front of the Edmonton goal. There's not a Blackhawk to be seen. There's one in behind the net. There's one off to the left of the net, depending on which way you're looking at it, but the left wing side. And then you've got two defensemen at the point just waiting for Patrick Kane to get the puck there. You're not going to score a power play goal if the goalie can see the puck. It's just not going to happen. And until they adjust that out of their game, it's going to look the same night after night. The one power play goal they got last night came on a 5-on-3, and it was a total fluke because it just kind of bounced off and knocked off Jonathan Taves' toe. We didn't even know it was going to happen. So when I see the second power play unit out there, they look a lot better. They look a lot more effective. They get more shots on goal. I don't know. It's just got to be kept simple. And I've said for years, when power plays are struggling, put some of the second, third line guys out there because they're more willing to keep it simple. And that's the key to an effective power play.
Goals from anybody is good when you're in a playoff-like scenario. But getting a fourth line goal when you desperately needed a goal, that was huge last night for the Hawks.
Well, especially for Matthew Highmore, too, who had had a tough game. One puck bounced off a stick, went in. He had another bad turnover. Tough game for him, for a guy that's his job is just to work hard and be scrappy and play fast and deliver some checks. It was really nice to see him get rewarded because he deserves it. He's a hardworking player who had a tough game. But, yeah, those fourth line goals, those are huge. You know that whatever playoff series you're watching, the top scorers are going to do something, right? And you knew going into Edmonton that McDavid and Draisaitl are going to get their points. They're going to get their goals. You know the same things are going to be the case with Kane and Taves. It's what does the rest of the roster do? And that's kind of why I had some confidence in the Blackhawks in the series, because aside from two of the top five players in hockey in McDavid and Draisaitl, I'm not super impressed with the rest of the Oilers roster. The Blackhawks are deeper. You know, they can roll probably 3.5 lines deep that I'm pretty content with. The Oilers can't do that. And when you have those bottom six guys, especially in a playoff series, making a difference, that's how you win a series. Just look, go back and watch those playoff series that they were showing during lockdown, the 2010, 2013, 2015 Cup runs. Yeah, the Hawks star players were great, but it was the Andrew Shaws, the Brian Bickles, the Michael Hanzuses, those guys on the bottom six who contribute and score those unexpected goals. That's the difference. When you have that sort of depth, that's how you win a series. And I think that's why the Hawks are up 2-1 right now. I think they're a deeper team.
Talking Hockey with Jay Zawoski. He is our guy here at The Score that talks hockey. The Madhouse podcast. He's hosted that. I'm Fat podcast. He hosts that too. We actually do have, this isn't Ask a Fat, but a couple of people have already texted in with a couple of questions, so I might get that in for a second. You should check out the I'm Fat podcast. It's pretty amazing. It's in my rotation of pods that I listen to. Jay also has a book called The Big 50. You should pre-order that wherever it is that you get your books from. If you love the Blackhawks, you will love this book.
Support Let's talk about independent bookstores. Independent bookstores, support them.
I said wherever you get your books.
Yep. For sure.
So go get Jay's book at an independent bookstore. Let's talk about Jonathan Taves. You know who I am. I'm a Taves stan. Like, I love Jonathan Taves. I think when we talk about this era, obviously the numbers that Patrick Kane keeps putting up are incredibly impressive, but I keep going back to all of the things that Taves can do. And you've seen it in this series. You've seen multi-goal games. You've seen him winning really important face-offs when you've had to win those face-offs. And we saw it again last night. Now, look, it was an own goal. I mean, it was totally an own goal at the end of it. But he was in position for that because he had won the face-off and then got right in front of the net. Both of the goals that Jonathan Toews scored last night were because he was where he was supposed to be. How good of hockey is he playing right now?
The last couple of seasons have been a bit of a rebirth for Jonathan Toews, and I think a lot of the city has missed it because the Hawks have not been competitive. He had a couple down years where he had some, I don't want to say fitness, like he was out of shape, but he was trying to change his diet, and he wasn't as strong as he had expected to be. And I think he also had dealt with some injuries that were slowing him down. He's back to full strength, and look, you've got the skill package that Jonathan Taves has, right? That's unquestionable. No one is going to work harder on the ice than Jonathan Taves. He's going to outwork his opponent every shift, every play, every game. That's what the Blackhawks knew they were getting when they drafted Jonathan Taves. That's why he's been called one of the best leaders in hockey of all time. That dude, despite a $10.5 million contract and everything accomplished any hockey player could ever dream to accomplish, he is still going out there and outworking everybody. And you could see the determination on his face when the Hawks are down a goal or the game is tied, that he wants to be the one that makes the difference. And so many times he's been that guy. I said this when Marian Hossa retired, that it was sort of an honor to watch a guy like that play. The same can be said about Jonathan Taves. That's a guy who everything Chicago fans claim to love in an athlete. That's what Jonathan Taves is. He gives you everything he has all the time. He's always prepared. He plays hurt. All the little romantic things we think about athletes, that is Jonathan Taves in a nutshell. And I hope that people in town haven't lost sight of that because the numbers have gone down a little bit. He is still that guy. He is still working his ass off every shift. And that's what makes a difference. You know, when you got a guy his age with that much mileage on him, that hard work is going to be the difference between getting that goal and or winning that faceoff or not.
Jay, when I was watching last night and I rewatched again this morning, I don't know if I've ever seen Corey Crawford flop around like a fish as much as I saw him flop around last night. He was on his stomach a lot last night and seemed out of sorts. Is that uncharacteristic or is he having a rough series?
I think he's having a rough series. Look, the dude's been playing hockey for what amounts to like maybe 3 weeks now after beating COVID-19. I'll take Corey Crawford at 60% over Malcolm Subban or Kellen Delia at this point. I think he had his best game of the series last night. A lot of the times where he looked really bad, he was sort of saving deflected pucks that were, changed direction on their way to him. The McDavid goal for sure was one of those. And I think the second Draisaitl goal, I lose track of them, but where he had to sort of, he was moving one way to stop a shot that came through and then hit a leg and he had to quickly kick out his pad. Well, he makes that initial save, but then the puck's just sitting there and he can't really do much because he's in a full split almost. So I think that's sometimes where you see him looking bad. When Corey Crawford's at his best, the puck is hitting him in the chest. His best asset is his positioning. And I think that's why when we look at Corey Crawford's career, there's a lot of people in town who maybe don't give Corey Crawford the credit he gets because you don't see him making the diving glove saves or the incredible paddle stop, or you don't see him out of position having to recover very often. So those highlight reel saves aren't there for Corey Crawford very much. He's typically in the right position. He's very good at tracking the puck. So when you see him look very out of position, it's almost always because the puck changed direction on its way to him. And that was the case last night when he was looking out of sorts. But I will say, when he went to play the puck behind the net and then just sort of ended up on one leg and like teetering, I don't know what that was all about. I don't know what his plan was on that play. And there have been a few moments since his return where you're like, dude, I don't know what that was. I don't know what the attempt there was, but he's got enough of a sample size and he's built up enough credit with me where he gets the benefit of the doubt almost all the time.
He's had a couple of times, Jay, when he's been behind the net where I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
You want to talk about stress during a game? As a child, I used to yell at Eddie Belfour for doing that. Just stay in the net. Just go in the net. Nothing bad will happen. And, Corey can handle the puck. Like, he knows what he's doing. But every time he leaves the net, I get terrified. It's awful. Just please stay in the net, just for my own well-being. But, yeah, there were a couple, especially in game two, where he went to play and it just hopped right over his stick. Or maybe it was under his stick and ended up being a goal. But overall, I have supreme faith in Corey Crawford, and I was going to say when it's all said and done, he'll probably be the second best goalie in Hawks franchise history if he's not already behind Tony Esposito.
Game 4 will be at 5:45 p.m., which is great for all of us on Friday. I'm curious, what do you think happens and what needs to happen for the Blackhawks to advance to the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think an advantage the Hawks have is the fact that all the pressure right now is on the Oilers. The Oilers are the team that went into the series with expectations. The Oilers are the team that are literally playing on their home ice. They're one of two teams that are doing that throughout this whole bubble system. They've got all the pressure on them to win this series. And the Hawks can sort of take advantage of that and take advantage of their anxiety, of their nerves, of their postseason inexperience. This is where Taves, Kane, Saad, Crawford, Keith, these guys who have won multiple Stanley Cups and have been through deep playoff runs, this is where that experience pays off. And they can really, if they get out to an early lead in game 4, let's say they get up 2-0 in the first period, how's Edmonton going to handle that? How are they going to react to that stress, to that pressure? Look, you've got a guy in McDavid that can turn a game on its head in a flash, but trust me, the rest of that team, those nerves are going to set in, that doubt's going to set in, and that is going to work to the advantage of the Blackhawks. So a quick start in game 4 for the Hawks, to me, is absolutely key. If they can plant that seed of doubt that's probably already been planted after last night, they can advance to the actual playoffs, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Jay, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for jumping on the show, and let people know what the book is about and where they can get it.
Yeah, so the Big 50, the men and moments that made the Chicago Blackhawks, it's out November 10th, I believe, is the release date. It's available wherever you get your books. If you go to my Twitter account, at JayZawoski670, there is a link to Bookies Bookstores. That's my preferred independent seller. There's one in Homewood. There's one in the Beverly Mount Greenwood area on Western Avenue. But wherever you get your books, it would be very beneficial to me if you went ahead and pre-ordered. And we will be doing some sort of signing, some sort of, appearances. We're going to have to work those out because obviously we're in a time where it's not going to be like it used to be. But I'm going to do my best to get out there and, hopefully around the holidays, I'll have some signed copies to send people. But the blitz is on, man. It's very, very close. I finished it up in the fall And then it still sort of just felt like a bunch of files on my computer, but now I'm seeing it, you know, in PDF form, and it's about to go to print, and it's getting very, very real. So I'm looking forward to it. And Lawrence, I thought of what I wanted to say about Connor McDavid. Can I say it now?
Sure.
Okay. So it's very rare in hockey to have a guy, a single player, that can win a game and win a series on his own. Connor McDavid is that guy. I've seen two others like that in my hockey watching life, Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky. That's it. Those are the two other players I've seen that can single-handedly win a game, win a series in hockey, and McDavid is one of them, and maybe the best. I'm not saying he's better than those two guys, but in terms of winning a game on his own, McDavid is very capable of that.
Okay, well, wait. Now I have to ask you this question for Ask a Fat. What is the best fast food to eat while stress eating watching these games?
I've been doing the Jay's Hot Stuff potato chips. That's been my, because it's a late night game, so, you know, going to get some fast food is kind of out of the question. But for me, just typically, I'm working on wings or like buffalo chicken dip, something like that. That's kind of my go-to stress snack. I don't know if it's the spice can kind of distract me from the nerves that are happening. You wouldn't think it's great with the stomach and everything, with the stomach nerves, but that seems to be my go-to, and it's given me success. I've 3 Stanley Cups in the Buffalo Wing stress eating era for me. So I think there needs to be a banner raised at the United Center with just a Buffalo Wing on it for me.
And Jay's is a Chicago company, so that's even better. Like, that's a good thing. Sir, thank
you
very
much. They changed their problematic name, and the chips still taste good.
See? It's very important. Yep. Thank you, Jay.
All right. Thank you, Lawrence.
That's Jay Zawoski. This segment is being brought to you by T-Mobile. Now that T-Mobile and Sprint have merged, T-Mobile's network is not only bigger, it's better than ever before. T-Mobile has added more towers, more engineers, and more coverage. So now you don't have to choose between an amazing network and an amazing price. At T-Mobile, you get both. We need to take a break. The Cubs have won 6 in a row. I want to talk a little bit about them and what happened with Javi Baez last night. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Kennedy's pitch. Baez hits a line drive. That's going to be a base hit to right. An insurance run is in. Bryant crosses the plate. Opposite field, run scoring single. Javier Baez. Rizzo stops at second. Cubs lead 3-1.
Cubs score 2 in the 8th, 2 in the 9th, and they beat Kansas City. 6-1 is your final. Oh, and this is fun for you to watch tonight. For the game with Kansas City, our guy. So you listen to this show, right? You like this show. You've been listening for a while. You've heard Bob Kendrick on the station talking about the Negro League Museum. Well, if you were watching the game last night, the cutout that is directly behind home plate is Bob Kendrick. The one that is sitting next to Patrick Mahomes. So if you were like, yeah, I wonder what that guy looks like. That's what he looks like. They got him in his hat and everything else. So tonight when you're watching the game, just look and you will see our guy Bob Kendrick in his hat, in his suit, just looking fantastic sitting next to Patrick Mahomes. The Cubs win. Darvish was really good last night. I enjoyed watching, actually both guys, Bubic was really good too. Watching him pitch that way was maybe a bit more fun than when he dominates a lineup with strikeouts. I love to see Yu Darvish make people look stupid, and he had a couple of called looking strikeouts yesterday that were that. But having the ball be in play, getting him through 7 innings, and then the Cubs bullpen yesterday doing a fantastic job where they go 2 innings, strike out 3, and don't give up any hits. This Cubs team is trouble. I've been saying this since the beginning, and I feel very satisfied with my opinion on this team because now I'm starting to hear it in other places that aren't my own show. I told the guys in Milwaukee that these guys are embarrassed and angry and motivated. And you are seeing that. With the exception of what happened with Javi last night, on that single. That's not a great look for a guy who I consider to be one of the smartest players in the game. I like that Rossi didn't go off. He didn't, like, flip out. I'm sure that he said everything he needed to say to Javier Baez about that. And I suspect that in a similar situation, that won't happen again. Because you need him on second on that play. And he's too good of a base runner to not take advantage of an opportunity to take an extra base. He still comes up with an RBI, with two RBIs in the game, went 2-for-4. Willie is hitting the ball really well for them. They're getting defense. And how crazy was last night's lineup? Like, we were off the air when the lineup came through. But me and Herbie were texting, like, Nico Hoerner playing center field, eh? Interesting. And they pulled it off. Chris Bryant maybe is starting to come out of it a little bit. Starting to get comfortable in the one spot, two hits for him last night. I think this Cubs team is really scary. And if they can continue to get this level of starting pitching, which is more easily sustainable in a short season than 162, they become very difficult to stop. But shout out to you, Darvish. Only one walk. He struck out 4. And he got the ball in play. Didn't have to waste pitches yesterday. 93 pitches for him in 7 innings of work. And that's good. It's good work by him. There's some fun stuff from the game and some serious stuff from the game broadcast that I want to share with you. We will do that after a timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.